Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 2 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find all of our programming online on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's begin with our list of questions for the day. Aaron Curtis, I think I'll start with you. What would you think we should talk about?
Well, why are beans continuing to go higher? What's making them go higher? Where is it going to end? Why are they going higher? And why are they going higher? And where is it going to end? A lot of questions, all kind of the same theme, though, Todd.
So you seem to want to know why beans are going higher. I think that's
I think that's what the question we get a lot. So I'm curious what the panel thinks on that.
And Bill Mayer?
Well, I think right along with what Aaron's saying, from a farmer's viewpoint, I think most of the farmers have been pretty aggressive selling beans. And, you know, is there any strategies that might work now as we look out here to the future as far as new crop beans go?
And Dan Zwicker.
Oh, probably maybe what USDA may or may not do on their June supply demand table, because I think that's going to be another pivotal point during the month of June, anyway.
Aaron, I'd like to start with you this afternoon. Can you lay out what's been happening in the cash grain side of this marketplace for both corn and soybeans as of the last couple of weeks?
Well, on corn, it's fairly simple. It's been pretty stagnant. At least basis has been fairly stagnant. The processor side has been pretty steady, really, over the last few weeks. Not a lot of change. We did see the river perk up, two, three, 4 weeks ago. On the nearby, as corn demand picked up a little bit on the export side, that backed off a little bit, and now the processor is kind of the leader again on the basis side. But basis from the processor side on corn has been, like I said, pretty steady. We have finally seen some farmer interest. A few spots in Illinois, at least at the elevator level, did see some $4 cash. That's what the farmer's been waiting for a long time. So we've seen some cash movement on the corn side, and really, this week has been pretty steady again from the farmer, especially on the old crop. Still weighted a little more heavily towards old crop than new crop on the corn side. Beans, obviously not a lot of old crop beans left. The remaining beans that are left in the old crop side are in pretty tight hands. So these daily changes aren't influence a lot of producer movement at this point, so we continue to see kind of a lack of interest on any remaining sales on old crop. Still buying a few new crop beans as we continue to move higher a little bit. We have seen SIF corn values and bean values perk up here a little bit, so despite the big rally that we've seen this week again on soybeans, basis continues to hang in there. Processor probably more flat, but has not weakened up any on the rally. That kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, just not a lot of old crop beans moving even on these big up days. So, you know, a lot of talk about export program as we move into the later part of the summer picking up. We have seen, you know, SIF values for that last half July, August time frame continue to be somewhat firm as we continue to, or at least the market continues to expect some better export values here as we move, or at least some better export volumes here as we move into the latter part of the summer, speaking largely to, the lack of available export of supplies out of South America, or at least somewhat limited. So, you know, at least if you follow some of the cash market, you're starting to see some of this come to fruition a little bit, at least in the values, as far as some of that business switching to the U.S.
Bill Mayer, Aaron told us a bit, and this is a Thursday afternoon when we're recording, the day that soybeans nearby contract was up 44 cents, about some of the fundamental reasons soybeans have rallied and continue to rally in the marketplace. What else has been happening, in your opinion, that drove at least that big a rally on a Thursday afternoon?
Well, I think Aaron hit the nail on the head. I think the fact that the beans have been sold very aggressively, and that includes the South American farmer, the Argentinian and Brazilian farmer, sold very aggressively, I believe. And what we're seeing right now is that the U.S. values, as far as the export market goes, and Aaron alluded to this, are really the cheapest globally of the values around. So it looks like our exports from a fundamental standpoint are going to pick up, and we are going to see both in corn and beans see some maybe larger export volumes during the summer than what maybe some had expected. So I think that's probably the big thing that's out there. We did see the meal kind of start this thing off. There was speculative money from the Chinese side of things that went into the meal market, not just the futures, but the cash side as well, and tightened the meal up, and it was kind of the leader for a while, but it stayed right with the soybeans today, but the last couple of days it hadn't quite moved along with the soybean side of it.
Dan Zwicker, during the closing market report on Thursday afternoon, you gave us one other reason. It wasn't a fundamental or a technical reason, or maybe it was a fundamental reason. There seems to be a play in movement in Chicago as well. Can you explain what that is?
Well, there's a rumors. There were some rumors. I can't verify anything, but there's a couple big houses that deal in the options market, I guess, were short some July soybean calls, and they're supposed to be out something like $80 to $100 million a piece. So if that is true, that gives you a reason why July soybean, because in order to cover those shorts and to stop the bleeding, they would have to come in and buy July futures. So that was one of the rumors. But yeah, I think generally that the soybean market is still reflecting the smaller acreage estimate that was estimated on the March 31st report. And then, of course, the shrinking of the South American crops, especially Argentina, soybean supplies. And the way I understand it, reading in between the lines, I mean, that's why the beans, I think, have been trying to buy acres. Now, I don't know how successful they've been at buying acres, but if we would just plant what USDA said we were planting was 82 or something, you could actually pencil in a balance sheet for next a year from September that carryover would be below 200 million. So that was been why I think the beans have been trying to buy acres. They need to buy another 3 million acres or 100 million bushels, and then that would keep the carry out up around 300 to give everybody an adequate supply. So, and then this winter, I think it's just negative attitude in the trade. Everybody's bared up short. Nobody wanted to cover any inventory, any distant inventory, because all the talk of the big South American crop and low U.S. prices. And I think that if they just stayed with their positions, a short position, just too long, and they've had to come in and cover. And this here may be the blow-off right in here. We'll have to kind of see what happens tomorrow and next week.
Technically, what does this market look like to you? And you mentioned blow-off, so we may not know exactly at this point.
Well, I mean, a chartist can always give you a number. And I guess since we're up at $11, I really don't want to get too bullish at $11. But there's room yet for this market to go higher if the fundamentals would come its way. But I think a lot of those fundamentals won't really be known until we get into that June 30th report to see whether or not the soybeans were able to buy another 3 million acres. I think for the most part, the trade only feels it's maybe about one or maybe two at the most. That would still be bullish new crop beans if that would be the case. And of course, who knows what kind of summer weather pattern we have. I'm not necessarily playing for anything adverse, but the trade keeps talking about it.
Bill Mayer, what do you do if you have sold your soybeans, you're out of them, the old crop that is, and how do you go about it if you want or should need to replace some of that? And is it just an old crop game?
Well, no, I don't think it's just an old crop game. I mean, we've got the new crop at some pretty decent levels here as well, although the cash tightness and what we're seeing that on that side of it is in the old crop, as Dan was saying. I don't know that I see a good answer to that question from an old crop standpoint, Todd. I think that if the beans are gone, to come in now and try to cover something, maybe, you know, trying to shut the door after the horse is out of the barn. But I do think that, you know, from a new crop standpoint, we have people who are sold up to levels that they're, you know, not willing to sell a lot more without some upside protection. And in that case, I guess my thought is that you probably need to look fairly short term here. I think some of these November short dated July options with have about 3 weeks, I think those calls might be a way to cover some sales and that type of thing to get you out to that June 30th period that Dan was talking about. So I think volatility is built to the point where it's pretty hard to go very far out from a time standpoint, but there are some alternatives where you can keep some stuff fairly close term here, still give you protection, and you can replace that, you know, if you get out there and see that you need to.
Aaron, what do you think about new crop soybean sales? Have you purchased much by comparison to previous years?
Yeah, we're starting to pick up the pace quite a bit, and especially in comparison to new crop corn. It's you know, really outshined what we've done on the new crop corn side. There just hasn't been much interest there. But yeah, the producer continues to kind of reward this market as it continues to move up. So, you know, percentage-wise, it's kind of hard to tell. It differs by area, especially if depending on how crop looks in your area, those kind of things. But, you know, we continue to see some interest, and, you know, especially now that the producer has kind of sold itself out of old crop beans for the most part. Now they're turning to new crop more and seeing a little more aggressive sales there. But, you know, to put a number on is probably tough, but I would say somewhere in that, 25 to 30% area maybe, Todd.
Are you fearful, and I'll ask both Aaron and Bill this question, because Dan suggested that there might be a blow-off top potentially in place at this point. Are either of you fearful that's the case at this time, Aaron?
Well, I think you got to be somewhat wary of it just because of the fund position that we have, you know, long, you know, over 200,000 contracts, you know, at or near a record. I think you just got to be cautious. We've seen what happens in the past when the fund gets the boat loaded that high. Now we'll see if the news continues to support that fund position continuing to stay long that way. And, you know, right now, you know, obviously the funds have the most money and they kind of make the rules, right? So that's what we continue to see the market continue to push higher. So I think, you know, once we get to this kind of open interest level and once we get to this fund position leaning so heavily one way, I think you got to use some caution each and every day on when this market could, you know, start to turn around the other way.
Yeah, I would agree with Aaron. I think the fund position, basically it looks tonight like it's probably at a record level long from the soybean standpoint. And that record that it's at that was made before was made in a year when you really did have short crops or looked like short crops coming. So not in a year that's really pretty typical. We had our conference call this morning that we go across the country, and pretty much to the man, things had improved over the last 2 weeks, just about every area except for southern mm-hmm. Illinois and probably southern Indiana. Out east, especially Ohio, southern Michigan, northwestern Ohio, those areas weren't planted at all 2 weeks ago and are pretty much done now. So So I think the crop is in pretty good shape from the standpoint of, you know, looking at it, especially in the West. And under those circumstances, I guess with the funds as long as they are, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to think that, you know, are we going to have lower prices at harvest? I guess my thought would be that, yes, we're probably, the odds are that we'll be lower than these current new crop levels as we go into harvest this year.
Well, let me pull the three of you, and anybody who wants to jump in on this one can answer the question. So it, for a long time, in March and part of April, we talked a great deal about a lack of premium being built into the marketplace as it related to potential summer weather in the United States. And then, as best I can tell, both the corn and the soybeans, the corn later than the soybeans, rallied on weather conditions in first for soybeans in Argentina and then in Brazil and then for corn in Brazil. So the question then is, are we still lacking a weather premium for the U.S. in the current marketplace?
I think we've built a weather premium into the prices. As you alluded to, it's may have started with the South American situation, but I think that we've built a carryout number into these prices that is probably less than what people were thinking 2 to 3 months ago from the U.S. standpoint as well. So I think there is some weather premium. I think there's probably some room for some additional weather premium in the corn market and maybe some in the soybeans. But I think that we've got soybeans up there due to some non-fundamental reasons, maybe not necessarily weather premium, but we're at levels that we could see some adverse weather and maybe not change the situation much.
What do you think we're working with, Bill, for ending stocks numbers for corn and soybeans? And I'm assuming you're talking new crop for the 2016-17 marketing season.
Yeah, well, I think that I agree with Dan earlier. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the report on the 10th, I believe it is going to show. But the real numbers are going to be where the acres come in on the 30th of June. And personally, I've thought since the March intentions came out that those acres, I just couldn't see those kind of acreage numbers, corn versus soybeans, being realistic. And I believe that we've seen some shift and will see some shift back to the soybean side, more acres of soybean and less acres of corn. As Dan mentioned, we won't see that, though, until, you know, after the end of June here.
Aaron, how about with you? What are you working with at this time for for new crop carryouts?
Well, I think that bean number is obviously interesting. The one that's most interesting probably at this point, I don't know if the corn carryout changes a whole lot from the 2.1, you know, probably up in the, you know, the high, near 2 billion at this point still. I think at this point you still got to assume an awful good corn yield because for, you know, 72%. Rated good to excellent translates into a pretty good sized crop around the country, even if, you know, acres are off a million or so. So the beans is probably the biggest question mark. I think there's some private estimates all the way down to, you know, close to 150 million bushels. I guess probably not that aggressive at this point, but if we don't see the big increase in acres, then I think you're probably probably something in that mid to low 200s if this export program is going to be all we think it is, especially with the old crop, you know, bean exports continuing to pick up when we've already sold what the USDA says we're going to have for the full year. So I think we're going to see those numbers, at least for the old crop exports, upgraded quite a bit here again, you know, over the next couple reports. So we're going to go into 16-17, you know, not with a 400 million bushel carryout, but something probably in the mid to low threes, so that tightens up that balance sheet for next year even more.
Hey, Dan Zwicker, because you worked both at ADM and then down at the Port of New Orleans, if we have demand for soybeans that is as strong as we've been discussing, despite the fact that we would have a 200 million bushel carryout, which in relative terms is large by comparison to the last several years. Does that demand strength really transit? Can it really be worked into the marketplace as a higher price just because of the demand strength, despite the fact that the carryout remains, much bigger than it would have been in previous years?
I don't know. You have to go back and look at previous indie stocks and price ratios at that point in time. But I think current bean prices at $10.50 or so on November beans has pretty much, you know, worked in a 200 million bushel carryout, which is, as you said, is still fairly adequate. The problem is if you move the needle on the yield, a couple bushels one way or the other, you can change that carryout number. And I think if you assume that we're going to have favorable weather and a favorable yield, what USDA has got plugged into the balance sheet, we're probably at a high enough price. The question is do we need to price in a weather premium that would suggest, maybe a smaller soybean yield? And boy, we got a long ways to go on that one.
Less of a ways to go on corn. We'll get to silking sometime in the late part of June. I think I saw earliest part was June 30, and then the bulk of Illinois and a large part of Iowa, Minnesota, even somewhere in that, July 10th range. So it won't be very long before we get to an idea of what silking and process and looks like in the United States. For corn, Dan, what kind of technical outlook do you see?
Well, I'm still looking at the lead futures breaking above that $4 area and that being considered a breakout of that 50 cent sideways pattern. And would probably say from a technical point of view that 450 is still a technical target for many technicians. We'll have to see how the market closes out the week. We started off kind of rough and we came back and made new highs for the year yesterday and then again today, but then we kind of closed off those highs. So I don't know. We'll probably end up closing higher for the week, and that still continues to lay out a move up toward 450. But that's the target. That's a technical target, and we'll see whether or not the fundamentals unfold to do that. I think in order for us to fundamentally do that, we'll have to see probably a much stronger demand scenario than what's currently in the marketplace. A lot of farmers selling today on the rally. So we do have plenty of old crop corn around to satisfy the demand, at least for right now. And to go higher is going to be probably new crop driven, whether or not we lose acres and what kind of yield we have.
What do we think that China's auction of corn will do to the marketplace when we get to that point and they really start to release some of those stocks? And they have been auctioning some off, but they're still pointing, I think, to the fall time frame. Bill, does that give you any concern at all?
Yeah, I think there's some concern there, but I think the quality issues in that are really going to come into play and see how marketable it is into the system. And I think that's, we're not really going to know that until we actually see the auction start to take place, which is probably going to be, later in the year. So, I guess I think it's something's kind of hanging over the head of the market a little bit of resistance up there that we know's out there. But until we actually see how much and how marketable it is, I'm not sure that it's a huge deal right now.
I think we've come to the end of our time. Let's get a final word from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Aaron Curtis, from Midco.
Well, continue to watch the fund positions here. I think that's going to continue to dictate how we do commitment to traders reports every Friday evening. But just use some caution here as we move forward with that big fund long that we have in the beans, big open interest. So just continue to watch, maybe with a little bit of a watchful eye here or some sort of caution here as we continue to move forward, especially with the June 10th crop report, June 30th crop report coming very quickly.
And just as a follow-up, does this mean you want producers to watch and be prepared to make cash sales on any drop in the marketplace?
Yeah, I think you continue to, you know, if you do have old crop beans left, I think you continue to reward these rallies with old crop beans and new crop beans, depending on your tolerance level. Maybe be a little patient at this point, but any sign of trouble, I think you need to be just a tad bit more aggressive here, thinking that this thing could turn around, especially if the weather would continue to cooperate, Todd.
Your final word, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Two things really concerning the beans, Todd. One is that the difference between corn and beans in the big picture is that we can expand acres a lot more quickly because we have a lot larger percentage of the crop raised in South America. So that's where we'll see the expansion of acres that these prices that we're at right now will bring on, if it brings on expansion, which it looks like it should. But I think we'll see that in the new crop beans. It'll be started being planted next fall in South America. The other thing is, going back to Aaron's point, being a little bit more aggressive on bean sales here is good for two reasons. One is to allow you to have cash flow as you move into new crop harvest and that, which may allow you to keep from selling corn bushels at levels that you don't want to sell during the harvest period.
And finally, Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting.
Just continue to, this seasonally, June is a big month for markets to make seasonal highs. We just kind of take a 30-day window between June 15th and July 15th, and you'll find an awful lot of highs are made in that time frame. So I do think it's appropriate to probably be very astute to the market action and what it's telling you to kind of maybe be prepared to make some sizable sales if the market so begins to tell you that to do that.
You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always hear the whole of the program online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our panelists today have included Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.